Hello, hello. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and as all of you know, I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I love to chat with you on this show once a week where you get to call in and talk to me about what's going on in your life. These are crazy times on the planet. There's a lot of systems that are kind of coming apart. There are huge political things. It's sort of revealing incredible corruption, and we've heard that this is the time of the shift. And sometimes I wonder, what does that mean? Does it mean we're kind of going down the sink or down the toilet? Or are we all going to be in the fourth and fifth dimension? What do you think? Let's talk about that. And tonight, let me see, I believe that Deb is going to be talking to us at 7:30. And because of a very confusing time around here, I didn't get to her today to find out what her subject is. So let's just play it by ear, shall we? I think I know something I'd like to ask her. She told me that with certain things in the chart, then people would find, this related to oneness, okay? We're all trying to learn to get along and reduce greed and anger and reaction and so on. And she was telling me the other day that with my chart, it tended to bring up people's kind of their darker shadows to themselves and sometimes make them feel badly and so on. I think she had a much more astute way of putting that. But I started to cogitate that, and I thought, well, here it is, oneness, and we're trying to learn to be one species. We're trying to move into a much higher consciousness. And so what if I've got that in my chart? Now, Jackie's team would say, Jackie's EG Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, wonderful being. It comes on at 8 o'clock, and I'm her co-host. But what they would say is, belief structures, what do you believe? And, of course, a lot of us have been reading the Seth materials again that came out in the early 70s or late 60s, and they're talking about the belief structure that you and I have, and often unbeknownst to us, we don't even realize what we believe, kind of short sheets your potential. It puts kind of like a sling in it so that you don't deepen into your potential as much as you could. So a lot of us have been exploring, what are our beliefs? What do you believe underneath? So I went back to Deb O'Connor, who's a wonderful astrologer and a wonderful artist and a wonderful editor and a good friend. I want to talk to her tonight, if she does come on, because sometimes we miss, about those belief structures and what about the reflections and projections that come from, for example, my chart. It doesn't have to be my chart, but how do we work with that? And I know that she's a bit of a wizardess about how to work with your chart in an advancing and evolutionary way. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about. We're also going to talk about oneness. What does oneness really mean? I'm fascinated by it lately and have been roaring around and going to as many of the Deeksha groups or the oneness gatherings that I can find in Bellingham. I did that before. I've told you this on Radiance by Design before. But I did it some time ago in the Bay Area. I really got involved in the oneness groups. Well, they didn't call them oneness then. They called them Deeksha groups. And I did that, I guess, for about 2-3 years down there, as many as I could get my hands on. And Deeksha, and now I'm doing it again because of a wonderful cousin who's come into my life, and she's involved in them in British Columbia, right over the border here. So I got going again, and that's fun. And what the point of them is that Bhagavan and Amma over in India, very enlightened beings, have said that the downloads of consciousness, of universal energies and so on, are very, very rapid right now, and that there's a possibility of humanity en masse, not just a few of us. Remember, the secrets are being dispelled all over the world, whether it's from secret societies or whether it's corruption in governments and so on. And part of that is the secret, the way of passing on or transmitting high-frequency energies to beings. A lot of people have traveled to India to get those from gurus through thousands of years, or Egypt, or wherever there have been high-energy teachers. But what they're saying is when you're initiated, you can put your hands on people's heads and pass on higher frequency energies, do the transmissions yourself, even though you're not a guru, because the gurudom has kind of dissolved into more of a community consciousness. Now, they're powerful leaders, so it hasn't dissolved entirely, has it? And the idea is to raise, change the energy, change the reality. So a lot of us are going to these Diksha groups or oneness blessing groups where there's a teaching and then there's some meditation. And people pass on. People go from one to the other around in a circle. And through your hands, you bring through the transmission from Bhagavan and Amma that we were all initiated into. And you can feel and see the frequencies coming in through your brain pattern. Remember, the brain is a lot like a computer, that it has all kinds of programs and patterns that might have come. I'm not going to try to figure out where all the patterns came from today, but they could as much come from your DNA and your lineage as they do from just shock and experience in this lifetime. But whatever it is that helped us design and create the pathways that those belief systems need to keep recreating their truth in your life. A lot of times in these transmissions, people feel a kind of electrical movement through the brain, and the brain literally changes. Now, I haven't found myself going, "Eureka, I'm enlightened," nothing like that. But I do find that every time I go, I feel more and more of a spiritual connection or a connection to the ancient and future essence of my being, and much more compassion and love for all the others that I meet and see. So it's a really interesting thing, and why I'm going on about it is, A, I'm fascinated by it, but B, I think that's what the shift is really all about, that we're learning to accept all of life. We're all one with all of life, that we're all sentient beings. And then with Jackie's team, Jackie introduced the idea of somebody having written a book called Human by Day and Zeta by Night. And as most of you know, Zeta, Zeta Reticulum, are those wonderful ETs that are kind of concocted cutely in some Hollywood movies, but also they're seen by many to be these bald-headed, almond-eyed, rather intriguing-looking characters. And this woman who wrote the book, whose name is Judy Carroll, she claims that when she was young, she knew she was different. Let me stop here. How many of you feel that you're different? How many of you felt when you were a little kid that you didn't quite belong here? Well, she was one of those. She was one of us, right? And she had gypsy heritage. She lives in Australia. And then what she did was she found at school where she wasn't exactly popular because she was different. Somebody started to tease her because at nighttime when that person was awakened, they saw her looking like a Zeta arriving in their bedroom at night, and they started razzing her for being an alien. Long and the short of it is, I shouldn't use the term alien. Apparently it's pejorative. You should say extraterrestrials or space brothers or something, right? So anyway, what happened is she began to realize, she met a woman who understood her lineage and her heritage and really coached her spiritually. And then she was able at 9 or 10 to learn to put her body to sleep and leave and go up into the ship and work with, I guess, experimentations, explorations, the creation of hybrid children and all the things that we hear that ETs and contactees, abductees, and all of those terms that Jackie's team talks about and Jackie talks about. She was a part of that, so she's working with that. So that's enough of a prelude for this part of our show, but except for this part. One of the things that they talk about, the Zeta message, is connecting all beings in oneness. Isn't that great? So it's like these aren't all separate things. Many of us have learned different spiritual pathways all through our lives. A lot of us who are seekers have explored this one and that one. And, you know, I was Catholic, and I've done a lot of research into the various styles of spirituality and healing, like a lot of you have. Anyway, the Zetas claim that they're guardians out in the universe, and they don't really have a planet anymore, but they zing around the universe, and they work with us to help us become more and more awakened because we are all one. And I know you've heard that before where they say, as above, so below. So here we are struggling to unify ourselves and not be so scrappy about if I have it, you don't, or greed takes all, winner takes all and all that, but learning to value life and life experience and to honor, for example, our atmosphere and our earth and one another, no matter how strange our presentation looks. So I'm really, really loving these books. One is called Human by Day and Zeta at Night. And this other book that I've got that I haven't read yet is called The Zeta Message, Connecting All Beings in Oneness. And tonight on Jackie's show at 8 o'clock, I'm so excited because she's going to be talking to Judy Carroll and Helene Kay, who are the authors and experiencers of these books. So we got lots to talk about tonight. And I want some of you to be calling in and asking questions about your life and various spiritual blocks that you're in. I want to talk about belief systems. I want to talk about projections and reflections. I want to talk about clearing, releasing, learning to love all that is and one another in spite of some of our problems, learning to create our reality. And let's see, that should all take about 15 minutes, right? And talk about oneness, I wanted to start off by doing our weekly meditation together. I really love that because that is setting a frequency that we all share at the beginning of the show. So, I hope you're going to call in. Are you, huh? So, once again, close your eyes. Unless you're driving, but a lot of you probably are not driving, are you? And, just a sec, I'm turning off my, if you want, you can write me questions, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, and I'll answer them for you. Don't write them yet, but I was just turning off my sound so you wouldn't hear it go da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, close your eyes. A couple of deep breaths. And above your head, about 2 miles, see there a beautiful golden ball. As soon as I say that, I can feel it, can you? And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And this is a little different. From the great central sun out there, drop a gold filament of light and move it down through the golden ball and through your spine and right into the lower golden ball. And right into the core of the earth. Good work. Now you're on a spit, aren't you? Now from the upper golden ball, about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid. And upside down, another four-sided pyramid. So the two pyramids meet base to base. The lower pyramid, the upside down one, its point sticks into the lower golden ball. So now you have an eight-sided pyramid, an eight-sided structure, okay? And inside that structure, create a beautiful crystal ball. And have the outside edges of your crystal ball push into the inside edges of your eight-sided structure. And inside that, there you are in your star tetrahedron. And that's a three-dimensional Star of David. You're inside of that. And this is where the magic starts. And I want you to spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin and spin. And as you're spinning, see in front of you a magical screen. And on that screen, we're going to create a little series of movies. And the first movie is about you and what it is you want to become. I always see myself becoming consciously multidimensional. When Judy Carroll talked about leaving her body asleep and going up into the ship, she wasn't all that conscious about it at first, but she became conscious about it. I want that too. What would you like? You don't have to do what I do. You can do what you want or what I do. It doesn't matter. And I see myself being able to stay awake and be able to move dimensions consciously. When I get there, I smile, woohoo, and wrap it in light, and move it over to the right or the left. Now let's start with the second screen. And on the second screen, you want to create a project. Remember, I've said all the time I want to create a television series? Well, now we're moving paradigm shifters into TV. So that's how we're going to work that. So I'm going to see all, and whatever project you want is wonderful. Maybe it's home and family. Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you want to build a house. It doesn't make any difference what it is. It's your project, comes from your heart and your dream, right? So see all the resources coming to create your project. Yep. And successfully, all the people that you need, the money that you need, the enthusiasm you need, the energy you need, see all the pieces coming together. And now your project is complete. And your project is complete. Okay, now see all the resources and the people and the places and the things coming together to keep sustaining your project so it goes on and on. And see yourself smiling, clapping your hands together, and knowing that it's really successful. And now the next screen is about your... It's about the Galactic Healing Center. And remember, our team, these are our multidimensional team, comes in and stands around this wonderful table to do some healing work for you. And the first person to lie on that healing table is you. And what is it you want? What is it you need for healing? I'm not sure what I need today, so I'm just lying there and asking them because they'll tell you. Good. A whole bunch of you get different responses. So what they're doing is pulling something out of my brain pattern and my belly. And you know those two go together. What's happening in your belly is also happening in your brain. And the belly houses karma, everything left over, so it's bound to be that way, isn't it? Good. Now, I don't know what you can do, but I feel quite a bit going on in my body. Now, you can ask to amp up the healing team. You can have layer after consciousness layer, each belonging to each member of your healing team or related somehow, and then ask for the next level of healing for yourself. Good. All right, now wrap that in light and let yourself stay stewing with the team. And remember, they're magical, so they can replicate themselves. Bring in a fresh table and have the team replicate themselves around the next person. I'm going to bring in someone who's got pancreatic and liver cancer, and it's pretty severe and it's moving very, very quickly. So I'm having the team work around him. And it's interesting because they immediately ask him what he wants. And so ask whoever is on your team, ask the team, what is it this person wants and needs? They'll tap their higher consciousness. Because you don't want to be the one who imposes your idea of what healing is. And have them work away on him, her, whomever. And they work with such love and such peace. Good. And wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now we're going to have another person come in. Now, this is one who's getting over incredible colitis. Yeah. We talked about her last week, and who's going to come into the healing room for you? Okay. All right, and we're going to see, and we're going to ask them to amp up their connection to higher and higher realms. And remember, you have higher realms with you, and I do too. So let's see her higher realms being involved with theirs. because she's getting a big learning. I'm not sure quite what it is. It's not for me to know that, although I get whispers and glimpses. I bet you do too. Yeah, what is it she's learning, or your being is learning? Okay. And then they're pulling out things that hurt her in the intestinal area, in the colon area. And the shoulder, I guess the nerve connection between the shoulders and the colon is pretty strong. And then infusing her with an appetite that is able to digest. I can see them just doing that. Wonderful. Now, what's really interesting about this person is they show that they're bringing in, she's allowing from higher levels of herself much more consciousness on this planet. Whatever that means to you, to me it looks like tremendous energy downloads coming through her, like the layers and layers of energy around us. We always see kind of membranes, and they're bursting in, and she's embodying them. Good work. And now we'll wrap that in light and move it to the side. And now let's do a political one. Political, woohoo! I don't know about the systems breaking down. Maybe our political system is. Maybe you can call in about that. So let's bring in on the table, which things should we bring in? Should we bring in the coal trains that are going to come from Montana through Bellingham so they can send coal to China, 6 or 7 trains a day? Or are we going to bring in the tar sands that Canadians are fighting against, but the corporate structure there says they want to be able to make the money? Can we bring in Monsanto? What did I read on Facebook today, that Bill Gates was one of the biggest owners of Monsanto? Who read that? Who knows more about that than I do? So let's bring in those huge, just those are sample megalo doodahs that are running whole aspects of the physical plane. Let's just bring those in and put them on the table. And now let's call in with this many, many realms and realms and realms of our healing team, with the realms of higher and higher consciousness. Have them infuse the love and magic in the form, this time will be in the form of a very radiant light coming down through the top of your head, okay? And down through the top of your head, coming down through your head and your neck and your heart, coming out your arms and your fingers. And I want you to pat all these people or all these companies in the bottom, really, that their red chakra would evolve and they would awaken to how it's for all of us, and that the more we all share, the more we will have, and the more bounty Mother Earth receives, and the oceans and the atmosphere. For the jewel of our planet, and feel that beautiful light moving through the, I'm pretending that the corporate person, remember? They're allowed to have a vote, just like it's any person. And we infuse them with this increasing light, the light of compassion, of love, of an evolutionary. Have you ever thought about love, how love is not the same? The word doesn't mean the same when you're in a certain state of mind as it does when you've gained consciousness. It keeps growing. So let's have a growing force of love moving through all these different individuals. There you go. And now we're going to pat the whole world, wherever there's places in strife or bloodshed or greed or starvation or poison food and water. Just pat them all, AIDS. Pat them with this amazing light. And have that light move round and round and round and round our planet. Round and round and round our planet, softening the edges. Softening the edges in all the beings, even in the media. Mm-hmm. And have that light come back in up my hands, my arms, into the chest, into my heart, rolling around, moving back up through the top of the head and rolling way back out into the great central sun. Now let's close off our healing. Let's close off the Galactic Healing Center and jump into your star tetrahedron whirl, 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 spin, 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 spin and spin and spin and spin. So how'd you like that? When we spin and spin, I get dizzy. What happens to you? So this is Veronica Entwistle, and if you've got questions, call in. I've got the number right here, but you've got the number right on your computer screen, too. But Eric's our new op guy, and he gave me the number 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. So if we're all one, the question I have is, what is it? Let's see now. How do we take things like our belief structure for each of us to discover our belief structures? Have you been working on yours? I have. For each of us to discover what it is that we believe and are we victimized to that is really important. And then I wanted to ask Deb O'Connor, if she gets on the air with us, I wanted to ask her how, I'm sure astrology helps us to perceive a sense of oneness. So I might throw that at her, and she can say she doesn't know right now, because it's kind of a big question to throw at someone. So I don't know, Seth, if you found her. She's going to be on Skype.
I'm there. I'm here.
Hi,
can you
honey. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad
Hi.
To hear you. Are you on Skype?
I'm on Skype, so let me know if the sound is okay. If it's not, I can call back on my phone.
Guess what? It sounds great.
Good. Yeah, you sound really clear. That was a wonderful half an hour.
Oh, good. I'm really glad. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Did you hear my question to you as I was going, okay, if it's all one, and
yeah.
if some of us have a chart which tends to get people reactive, do you know what I mean? Remember what we
yeah.
were speaking about
yeah.
the other day?
And everybody thought, has a chart that gets other people reactive depending upon the other people. You know, I mean, in other words, other people, because we all carry such different energy, different people are going to respond differently to different other people. But in your chart, it's just that the reactions are going to be centered around family. Not everybody has that particular setup. But when it comes to oneness, don't you think
that's kind of an interesting question, isn't it?
But it is. It is. It's the question.
Hmm.
But I think that I don't know if you got a chance to read the Pisces New Moon column that I sent out last week. But I was talking about this very thing of the myth of separation, the myth of duality.
Okay, I did read it actually.
Mm-hmm. And here we are in this form, and so. We have to be in the form at the same time that we're a light body in the form. So it's dualistic. It feels dualistic at the human level, but it's not really. So I mean, my sense is that we've chosen to be actors in this sort of divine comedy, which doesn't feel very
funny, isn't it?
Sometimes it is, and sometimes it doesn't feel very funny. But if you can step back and far enough from it, and I really think that here's my answer in brief to your question. It feels like the more we can get in touch with how other people can hook into our ego part of ourselves, that's where we get entangled, I think. That's where I get entangled, mm-hmm. when it's for me anyway. If I can step back and say, wait a minute, they're acting out, but what does this have to do with me if I can step back from it? It's really just them. Why don't I mirror them back to themselves?
But isn't it hard to know what's us and what's them, especially when we're supposedly one and we're supposed to, do you understand what I mean? It's like we're supposed to be able to say, oh, yeah, it is about me. See?
Right, but I think the thing is that we can overanalyze it, because if I'm in a situation with somebody and I'm starting to feel really sad, I have to examine what it is that's making me sad, and usually it's that I'm feeling like I don't belong, or I'm feeling like I'm not seen. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I recognize that and can say to myself, okay, so like that old Roaches song where they say, in the end, it's all between you and God anyway.
That's good.
And just come back to that and just remember, well, if I'm feeling hurt here, or because people can say really hurtful, mean things. I'm not saying that doesn't happen.
Oh,
it's just
goodness.
That when it when it comes out of someone else, I still think I learned this from you a long time ago. I was going to a family thing, mm-hmm. and you said, and I have one of my siblings I have a particular amount of sadness around, have had for decades, and you said, why don't you just imagine from your heart to his heart, there's this great big huge stream of loving light. Just put it out there before you even get there, because I was traveling 1,000 miles, and I did that. And I got there, and for the first time in almost 30 years, I had this extraordinary couple of encounters with him where he just wrapped his arms around me.
Aww.
And so I think that I wish there was a shorter way to answer this, but don't you think it has to do with how we respond to the fact that other people are being cruel? And that if we can, the oneness has to be our relationship with the oneness, not worrying about their relationship with the oneness or our relationship with their form, which is acting out.
So sort of like this, that person's very cruel, but that's in me too.
No. Well, no, not that so much as, no, that person in their form right now, their individuated form, have chosen to be reacting cruelly. So if you stay with your relationship to the core of yourself, your essence, so that you're not dualistic, then you can basically just sort of shine your love on that person's choice to use its form in that way and not take it on. I mean, I know when you're saying if we're all one, then does that mean we're all Hitler, and does that mean we're all Saddam Hussein, and just, you know, like that. But mm-hmm. I'm getting to the point where it's almost becoming so complicated in my head if I try to figure it all out that way, mm-hmm. that, and that's part of the difference between you and I in the energy we carry. The Gemini in you wants to find the answers, wants the information.
Wants to figure it out.
Yeah, and the Pisces in me is really satisfied just saying, if I stick with my merger with the core part of me, which is really God, which is really all light, then that sticking with that is going to create a wave of energy that's going to sweep out into whatever's happening with me and this other person and make a shift. And there's no better or worse way to do this. I mean, your desire to understand the mechanics of it is just as valid as my desire to just sink into it. But that's one of the reasons I love the astrological language so much. It's because it explains to us how each of us is approaching these questions in with a really different energy setup. Wiring. We're wired differently. You know, can I say another thing about the thing you were talking about earlier about the extraterrestrials? Mm-hmm. So when you were talking about the ETs and about, in particular, these really amazing, this amazing woman is going to come on yours and Jackie's show next at 8. I was thinking about how we hear so much about different, and I hear this a lot with you and Jackie on the second show, on Thursday night's second show, where we talk about the beings from a lot of different galaxies and planetary systems. And so when you were talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy tonight, mm-hmm. I was thinking, and they are, and I bet that that's just absolutely true, and they're working in league with other guardian beings from other systems, and it's not like there's any one. I guess what I'm trying to say is, for me, I've gotten to the point where I realize there isn't any one. Even when you were talking about the oneness meditations and the inductions, you know, or the initiations,
yeah,
and I was thinking, yeah, it's true that there are so many different ways to be initiated, and we can be initiated in 5,000 different ways, and ultimately, underneath all those initiations, there's exactly the same platform, which is the one love.
So it's like breaking through all those belief structures inside of us to give us our fulfillment. It's the same thing. Breaking out of those belief systems
yep.
can make yep. us able to experience that one love, right?
Yeah, and I think every one of the different kinds of initiations, like, I mean, there are so many. You and I were both trained when we were younger in transcendental meditation, and then we went off and we've explored all these other modalities, and I work primarily with the astrological language with my own clients, but I've dabbled in a lot of the things you have and other things you haven't, and you've dabbled in a lot of things I haven't, and all I'm thinking lately is it almost doesn't matter which one of those modalities we choose, mm-hmm. as long as we're choosing to learn about the merger, you know, to remember that what there is no, there's nothing but light, and we are it.
Yeah, because they all shine, they all teach us to shine a little light, shine inside ourselves and find that divinity, that God. Doesn't matter what right. route you take, which gate you
right.
open, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's all about even remembering it's there, remembering that there's nothing else but that.
So if this is the new moon, we're almost out of the whole new moon in Pisces, right?
We're well through it now. The next week, I'll be writing about the full moon next Wednesday. Actually, we're moving to that. But
is it in Pisces as well?
Well, the sun will still be in Pisces, and then the moon will be on the other side of the galaxy in Virgo. And
okay,
that
so just tell me this: is when we get, for example, a new moon in Pisces? Because I was just reading this that you sent, which I read before, but I couldn't remember all the details. But is it a feeling of beingness that is amped up by such a planetary presence?
Yeah, it's like a seed is planted every time there's a new moon. That moon is new in that sign once a year only. So only once a year do we have a new moon in Pisces. And it's seeding our emotional. The moon is always about the emotional core and the way we feel our way through our world. So we're planting an emotional seed, which is something that we want to tend, you know, for the whole rest of the year. But it's like like you just said, we get an awareness hit of what that Pisces seed is, and of all the signs, it is the one which is the most clear about what oneness is. It is oneness. Pisces, there are no boundaries. It's the sign of the infinite, eternal heart of the divine. The whole light body itself. It's about understanding what compassion is, and I wrote in that column about unconditional love really kind of comes in the end, for me anyway, comes down to an understanding of true forgiveness. We can say we love someone, but it's sort of hollow, that statement, if we're still holding on to something that we can't forgive, because then there are conditions on our love. I guess that's what the point of that is. Does that make sense?
Pisces is about love in a lot of ways, isn't it?
It's about the love. It's about love with a capital L. It's about oneness, which isn't that what oneness is to you? The whole loving embrace of the universal heart?
Yes, I guess it is. I have never been able to kind of put my hands on it, just that we all have it. It's there for all of us. It's source. Yeah, and these expressions are unique, but the oneness is right there. That's what I think. So when I'm looking at this, I'm going, yeah, Pisces is the place where you can just be in it, in the oceanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like just when somebody asks me about it, it's hard to describe Pisces because it totally defies the human language. So does Neptune, its planet. Yeah. But what I think of, what if you want to imagine something, you know, just an image, you can think about laying your human body down in a field of light and merging with the light so that you could still see the outline of your form in the light, but you are that light, you are form in light. And that feels to me like, because and then that takes into the definition, the fact that Pisces is always about the fact that there are no boundaries to anything. Everything is limitless. It's about super consciousness.
Well, I love that. Now, we have to kind of close off the subject, but I would like to further explore this subject of how, what was I asking, how, I guess oneness in rapport with astrology. I just really like that.
And it's Neptune. Wherever someone has Neptune in their chart or the sign of Pisces in their chart, both of them, or if they have 12th house planets in their 12th house, all three of those, the sign, the planet, and the house, that's the little cosmic family of oneness, and that kind of love is the 12th house, Pisces, the sign of Pisces, and the planet Neptune. So you can look in your charts for those points and see where your how you sort of discover that sense of oneness in your own, with your own energy, your own unique energy in this body. Thank you so much for this wonderful conversation again.
I had another question, but I kind of forget. So thank you so much, and tell everybody how to get hold of you and to have a session with you and so on.
Well, did you want to ask your question, or do you want me to get off so people can call in?
Well, why don't you call in anyway if you feel like it? I just wanted to talk about the boundarylessness. So it's like that, what did you say about boundaries? I'm going, well, it is like we need to, if we're going to be one, we can't be in duality. And if we're boundaryless, then there is no duality, is there?
You know, but the paradox that you see in anybody's astrological chart and that we are experiencing as humans is a paradox, which means there are two things happening simultaneously, and there's no way the human mind can wrap its way around this. I mean, the Seth books taught me this. They were the first thing that I ever read that made sense to me about that, because they were about you can't make this work logically. The human brain cannot wrap itself around this, which is that we are both we're in dualism when we're in human form. But the human form itself is created by the divine light. So we start talking about it, and it's really our mind that makes us feel the dualism. But it's just it's an illusion. It's not real. And the Pisces and Neptune in anybody's chart is what helps them to realize this is an illusion. When people talk about the illusion of Pisces and the delusionariness, they like to talk about that in a negative way, but I think that the positive way to spin it is to see that where the delusion is that gets in our way, which is to think that we're all alone.
Well, I think duality is a defensive thing.
Yeah.
Don't you think? It's to sort of protect our identity. I don't know.
Yeah, because we have to have an identity. We took on this human form, and part of the trip is to be in form and for each one of us to individuate that form. But I think another part of the duality is forgetfulness, and that we've forgotten that while we're in this form, that doesn't make us separate from the light. We can be both.
Because we're one with the light even if we're in a dualistic reality.
even if we're in the form, we're one with the light even though we're in the form. Mm-hmm. Because the form is actually created by the light. That's the forgetfulness, is that we think the form is one thing and the light is something else, and we have to find it in ourselves, and we've forgotten that it is ourself.
Well, okay, so tell me, this is going to go back into astrology in a simpler level. What's coming up then? We're coming into a full moon in Virgo?
Yeah, Virgo. We can talk about that next week, but in a nutshell, it just means that Virgo and Pisces are both about service, and a lot of what we're just talking about, Pisces is serving the light, basically, the metaphysical, what we can't really talk about because it's too much more, it's too huge and extraordinary for us to find words for it. It's the light body, and Virgo is about embodiment, tangible service. So when there's a full moon in Virgo,
and good boundary.
It's a good earthy, let's work in the world, in the materialized world. So it's everything you and I just talked about. It's the merger of Pisces and Virgo, which is the merger of the light with the body, understanding that we are both, and we need to be working, we need to integrate the two.
Interesting.
Bring spirit into form.
Yeah, this is really, really fascinating, is it? So I'm just going to give the numbers again, 888-627-6008. Call in with your questions, anything that you'd like to talk about your own boundarylessness or about what you're going through. How are you doing with your belief structures and your futurizing, oneness, ETs, anything you want to call in about, 888-627-6008. Well, I think this is fascinating.
I was just saying, I should get off so people really feel like they can call in. But one more thing about Pisces and boundarylessness, and this time, you know, we're setting, I always talk about things in this sort of most metaphysical, poetic way when you and I are talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. But when it comes right down to human beings and our experiences right now and the boundarylessness, there are a lot of different planets and chart, you know, there and signs. There are things like Capricorn and Saturn, which give us boundaries. So when we talk about any one of these, it's not like it's all that's going on. There are other dimensions, energetic, vibrational patterns that are helping us to have the boundaries that we need. And the danger with Pisces is always that we forget that as we open our heart to everyone, that we also have to be discerning about who and what we let in so that we don't get trampled, emotionally trampled.
Yeah, that's for sure. Tell me, that's a long story as well, but I wanted to say, can you use your chart to lead you out of a chart into boundary, into oneness? How's that?
You could certainly see where, which part of your life, which area of your life you have the most proficiency in, or the most, you're set up to get there the most directly. And with the most clarity. You know, like you have Mars in Pisces. I don't remember where your Neptune is, but you have Mars in Pisces in the fifth. So, and you've always done a lot of spirit work through the playfulness of fifth house things like dance. And Mars is real active. It's a real active energy. So in Pisces, I mean, there are a lot of ways to look at your Mars in Pisces, a lot of ways. But one is as this performer in the fifth house, who's literally playfully bringing spirit into passionately. And the other thing about Mars is very active, is really an activist. Mm-hmm. So what it says, this is what I want to bring courage to, and my sense of advocacy to, and my passion for. And for you, it's all Pisces. You have always been an advocate for the spirit, but you do it playfully. I mean, everybody who works with you know you have a fabulous sense of humor, and that's the fifth house.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I know. So, and you know, Pisces new moons also show it bring all of us into an awareness of what we might be addicted to. I'm going to go ahead and get off now.
There's somebody online, so you can either stay on or whichever way you like to do it. But you're on the show. Welcome to the show. Hello. Good. How are you?
I'm good.
What's up?
Well, a lot of interesting things have been going on. things are coming together for me to record some music. And,
good.
My goal for this week was soul-centered authenticity. I'm getting some really interesting lessons. I'm not sure. It's like I was told to wait to record with a friend who said he had recording equipment, but it wasn't legalized yet. He has to buy the license to use it for commercial purposes. And I kind of ignored it and went over there. And while we were just playing and not recording, it was great. But once we started recording, I felt it didn't feel right. But it turned out okay in the end anyway. I just missed some opportunities for other things I felt like I also needed to be doing. So it's been.
Well, what were you afraid of when you were recording? Were you self-conscious or what?
I was. He was really funny. He ended up giving me a homeopathic remedy. He didn't tell me it was for stage fright, even though that's what it says on the label. He asked me if I had a fear of heights and if I wanted to jump off buildings when I was near the edge. I said, yeah, when I was a little kid, but not now.
There's a really weird magnetism when you get on something high if you're in a certain space, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, do you have a question? Because what I'm seeing is your gut, your belly, your gastrointestinal system is separate. So your personal power center is very separated from the red and orange chakra in the sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like you're not embodied. Deb was talking about when we were talking about form and oneness and boundaryless and all that, and I look at you and I go, this music that wants to come through you, but there's a restriction going on in your body separating certain aspects of your being, and yet you're extremely vital, very passionate, and driven to do the work. So I would say that would make you skitterish because your grounding isn't there, but you're actually very grounded in your work. You love it, don't you? Has it just been a while? Is that the problem?
Oh, is that, and also I felt pulled in different directions as far as dating and the guy I was involved with, and then not. It's like been back and forth. He has always been very faithful, and I haven't And I haven't always forgiven him for things that happened a year ago. And it's been a year since my grandma died, and no one in my family called me
on
that side for a year. And, but a lot of good things are happening, you know. So,
well, my reading on you, and we have to end this because we're out of time, but my reading on you is you need to do the exercises it takes to connect that energy flow that's running through you, because it carries tremendous light, transformation, energy, and sparkle, but it's all in separate clumps. Remember I talked earlier about beliefs short-sheeting our soul's fulfillment kind of thing, and you've got all these little packages in there that are short-sheeting your capacity right now. So I would do some dancing and run light from through the top of my head like a bottle washer right through to the ground. Something like that.
Yeah, I missed it. I missed a dance class last night. I didn't go. So,
well, you need to, but I would yell and scream a little bit too, because you got to break out. Break out. And I have to go because I'm going to be hooked off stage, but I'm really glad you called in, Stephanie.
Thanks. Have
Take
a good
care.
Week.
You too.
You too. Bye.
And if you're still on, Deb, good night to you as well.
Good night.
Thank you so much for that wonderful conversation. I hope people at home enjoyed it, but I'm sure we're going to hear. Right?
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. Good night. I'll see you at the at 8 o'clock on your next show.
You betcha. Thanks, Deb.
Mm.
So this is Veronica Entwistle, and if you can, stay tuned at the top of the hour for Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. She's going to be talking to Judy Carroll and Helene Kay about human by day and Zeta by night and the oneness with the extraterrestrial involvement with life on our planet. It should be very, very fun and very exciting, so stay tuned if you can. Any feedback on this show, suggestions for guests, for paradigm shifters, or like a session with me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com or Deb at lovedogdesign.com. Good night. Thank you so much for listening. Much love. Many blessings.